Well, it says we're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nigler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live with your Packers Daily Chat. It is Wednesday, July something or other. Good to see everybody in the comments section. The NFL is alive and well with labor talk. That's right, the NFL and the NFLPA taking turns putting headlines into your Twitter feed about negotiations regarding the starting of training camp, the league year, really. Around the COVID-19 pandemic and the adjustments that have to be made to get things off the ground. The Players Association is pretty livid about this idea of holding a percentage of players' salaries in escrow for the 2020 season, and I can't say I blame them. I put out there last night on Twitter that I suspect that that headline is all about, or the floating of that idea is all about, the owners being able to walk back from it and talk about how magnanimous they are and how they're negotiating and how they're giving and taking, etc. It's one of those things that the NFL has done forever when it comes to labor talks. Put as much stuff out there as possible and see what they can get away with, really. Because look, there's no question, there is zero doubt that NFL ownership could basically borrow from themselves to keep themselves afloat for anything that happens this year, and even next year in 2021. And they'll make their money back as they continue to grow after the pandemic is under control, because God knows when we're ever going to be over or past it. But if they get the opportunity, yeah, why not try to, you know, make some money back off the backs of the players for no reason whatsoever, when they are the ones going out and risking their lives and livelihoods, while the owners sit in skyboxes and or their private planes and yachts and let the money roll in. So, yeah, it's not a new situation for the NFL. They are clearly running clock. They've had forever to hammer this stuff out with the PA. We've watched Major League Baseball piss away a summer, and the NFL owners know that they can run clock here and then try to frame it so that the players look unreasonable. But I think J.C. Treader, the new president of the NFLPA, obviously a lot of you guys remember he's a former Packer. He seems up to the task, and he has done a very good job here in the last, I would say, 10 days or so of getting the players' message out. And I don't think they're going to be pushovers in this regard, which, thank goodness. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Good to see everybody. I love that there is Josh Jackson talk happening in the comments of Cheesehead TV on July 8th. That's how you know it's a collection of diehards, when people are talking and debating Josh Jackson. What's up, everybody? Good to see everyone. For a second, I thought Aaron was wearing a Banksy t-shirt, and I was about to lose my mind. I don't have a Banksy t-shirt. I'd love to get one, though. This is a Nine Inch Nails shirt. It's probably one of my favorite albums, Ghosts, which he just put out a new version of, I think, earlier this year. Volumes 3 and 4, but this is for, I got this from volumes 1 and 2. Wouldn't you think the revenue they are making by selling ad space in the stands would compensate for most of the money lost by fans not attending games? Oh, no. I would suspect not. No. I know that what you're referring to are reports that they are going to be selling signage over the tarping of the front parts of the stadium seating, and they are going to be selling ad space there. But I mean, when you talk about everything they'll be pulling in, they would be pulling in if those were people with butts in the seats, not just, you know, whatever they paid, whether it's you know, single game ticket or season tickets, but then parking, concessions, everything, all the money, like merchandise, everything gets spent around each person exponentially, gets spent around the stadium. Yeah, no. I think they'll make some money back. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think you're going to be seeing like big, major, monster campaign ad buys from major brands. I think you'll see a mix of maybe a few major brands, but a lot of more local businesses. Not local, but like hyper Wisconsin local. But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But I don't think it's going to be like Premier League, where you've got, you know, those digital signs all around the playing field that switch up every once in a while, every 15 minutes or so, to give, you know, ad space to major corporate worldwide brands. Do you think Donald Driver's career gets overlooked by fans and media, or is he pushed down by all the great talent the Packers have had at receiver over the years? That's an interesting lens to look at it through. I think he's beloved by fans. I mean, I think the media, when they talk about Packers greats, I think they're just being honest when they talk about, you know, there were a lot of really super hyper talented wide receivers in Green Bay over the course of the 100 years of existence, starting with Don Hutson. You go to Sterling Sharp, James Lofton, Greg Jennings, you know, now Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson. Those guys are probably all more talented than Donald Driver, you know. But Donald Driver is such a great story because he was a seventh round pick, and he went from sleeping in his van in Houston to making the NFL to becoming the all time leading wide receiver in Green Bay Packers history. I mean, he's a fantastic story, and that is a big reason why I think fans obviously gravitate towards him and why they love him so much, why he is beloved. But, man, you're talking pure athletic talent and ability on the football field. I mean, he's not in the top five in the all-time wide receivers that have played in Green Bay. I mean, I love Donald. I love him to death. I love everything he did as a Packer. But there were a decent amount of really talented wide receivers that have played in green and gold. Dasis Was, thanks for the super chat. Moi Moi from the Arctic Circle, Finnish Lapland. Well, good morning from New York City. Robin, that's an interesting question. Non-Packers question. What do your girls want to do when they grow up? Would you guide them to journalism? I wouldn't guide them anywhere. They can do whatever they want. The oldest is having a bit of a crisis as far as what she wants to do. I think the pandemic has thrown everything into kind of a what is it all about kind of mode. I think now what she really wants to do is work with some kind of disabled children, whether that's teaching, administrating, therapy, I'm not quite sure. I don't think she's quite sure. But as you know, her sister has autism, and she wants to help autistic children, really. As for Violet, said child with autism, she wants to be a video game designer. And Olive, the youngest, wants to be a gamer, a professional gamer. So, yeah, will I steer them to journalism? I mean, no, but if they want to know about the profession, I have a little insight. Yeah, they can do whatever they want. No better receiver in his prime than Sterling Sharp. Don't at me. Frank, it's hard for me to disagree. My mom loved Donald Driver on Dancing with the Stars and had no idea he was even a Packer. Well, you know, multi-talented dude, no doubt about it. Nagler has a dog. You know, Big B, I'll tell you what. The other day, I gave it serious consideration for about 10 seconds. So your batting average is improving. Hey, what's up? Andrew in Columbia, how you doing? So grateful for all you do for international fans. Subscribe, like, and become a Patreon member, y'all. Andrew hitting it up, touching all the bases. Hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel. And yeah, if you want to support what we do at Cheesehead TV, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon account, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. You get exclusive access to my podcast. You get to hang with me during happy hour during the week. We just had one actually last night. Those will obviously increase once camp starts. You get to challenge me to a game of Madden whenever you want. And you support everything we do. Everything we do around not only the video side, but social, website, everything. So, yeah, consider giving us your hard-earned cash to support Cheesehead TV. When Rodgers is done in Green Bay, assuming he doesn't retire, do you think he stays in the division like Favre? Well, I suspect that he won't have much of a choice. I think he'll be traded. And that will be under the direction of one Brian Gutekunst. So we'll see. I mean, I would be absolutely shocked if Gutekunst traded him in the division. So I think he'll have to like it or lump it, as I like to say. When might you be posting a new Nagler's Never Right? When I get my next guest locked in. Matt LaFleur and I have been talking about an appearance, and obviously he's on break right now, but But once training camp gets started, we'll be back to some regular guests on Nagler's Never Right. Kirksey is going to have a big year. God, I hope so. Right? I mean, I love his game when he's healthy. Got to stay healthy, though. Hasn't been able to the last 2 years. That's been well-covered territory. But, yeah, I think when you look at his play on the field, you definitely see a player. You see a guy who will make some plays, who will maybe go off script a little bit at times to make some plays. And God knows the Packers need that in the middle of their defense. Alex, hi, Nags. Do you think the same kind of future slash story as Chris Carter could await Josh Gordon if he was to be reinstated would end up in Green Bay, if it all works out, would be low risk, high reward? I would be absolutely floored if Brian Gutekunst ever brought in Josh Gordon. And his name gets floated every time he's in the headlines for applying for reinstatement, etc. And I hear what you're saying about Chris Carter, but Chris Carter had like one bad moment, then came back and dominated and had a quote unquote fairy tale ending, though he never won a Super Bowl. But Josh Gordon has had like five of those. Right? At some point, the man becomes untouchable. I think he became untouchable in Green Bay like three reinstatements ago. So, and I think, and here's the other thing. He's hyper-talented. No one disputes that. But you just can't count on the guy. You cannot count on him. And if Green Bay, over the last decade plus, has shown anything, they want people in their locker room who are rock solid, who they can trust. And if they find out that they're not, if they don't fall into that category, they will most likely be shown the door. And, you know, you can agree or disagree with that way of running things, the idea of the locker room being sacrosanct and having to make sure you have the right mix, the right chemistry, etc. You can dismiss all of that. That is fine. You know, I would probably agree with you on some of those points, but we are not Brian Gutekunst. Much like we weren't Ted Thompson. And that is how they choose, and that is how they have chosen to run or, you know, construct their roster. They value that camaraderie. They value that aspect of team building. And I know I hear the pushback already. People say, well, in a locker room with such, you know, leadership as Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Big Dog and all these veterans, etc., Davante Adams, you know, he would have a good environment to thrive. And I agree, but he's also been in a bunch of places that had good leadership. He was in New England for God's sakes and couldn't keep it together. So I just, you know, I get that the talent is tantalizing, but I just don't see it. I would be absolutely floored if Green Bay made a spot for him. Thanks for letting us feel connected to our team, Aaron, especially during these times. It truly means a lot. Guessing the season will be weird at best, but I have high hopes. Carry the G. Corey, couldn't agree more on that last sentiment. Both those last sentiments, both carrying the G. And yeah, it's going to be a weird season. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, something we talked about yesterday, where now COVID-19 is going to be part of the fabric of the game, much the way a pulled hamstring or a head injury are, you know, part of how it's covered, how it's, you know, managed. It's going to be, okay, how many positive tests are there? And who's been affected? Who's got to be quarantined? It's sad, but it's most likely going to be the truth. And I hate it. But that's where we are. You know? I have so much I could say on this subject, but I will refrain. If you were on my Patreon hangout last night, that's where you get the raw, uncut stuff. But I will keep it together for the YouTube channel. after years of pain, you finally found an elite running back in Aaron Jones, and you will let him walk? Pay him whatever he wants. Slow down there, Axel. You just drafted A.J. Dillon. And I understand we haven't seen him on a football field in the NFL yet, but that is one of the reasons he was drafted, is to make sure you don't have to pay Aaron Jones whatever he wants. Now, I get you as far as they haven't had an elite talent at the position, but years of pain? I mean, they've had productive guys. They've had guys who've at least been able to, you know, work within the confines of whatever offense they were running. I think you don't want to overpay at that position. I think the NFL is littered with examples of why that is a mistake. I do think they should pay Jones. I do think the offense is 10 times better when he is in it. And I do not doubt for a second that his people will be pointing that out when they're talking to Brian Gutekunst. But, yeah, pay him whatever he wants. Miss me with that one. Who decides whether fans can attend the Notre Dame versus Wisconsin game at Lambeau this fall if college football is allowing at least some fans in stadiums? Well, ultimately, I got to imagine that's a call the Packers make. Now, will they be consulting in consult with both Notre Dame and Wisconsin and the NCAA? I have zero doubt. But ultimately, it's their facility. You know, I can't imagine in a million years that Mark Murphy would sit there and say, well, we really don't want people in the stadium, and Wisconsin and Notre Dame go, well, too bad. I don't think that's going to work. How optimistic are you today that the season will start on time? You know what? It changes kind of every 24 hours or so, but right now, you know, and I said this on the radio, I said it during the happy hour last night, I'll say it again here. At this point, I'm pretty much of the mindset that if they can just get off the platform, it's a rocket ship, right? And we're counting down. And anytime up to, you know, zero, when the rocket takes off, they could abort the mission. And that could still happen. But as we get closer and closer and closer, the more I feel this rocket ship's going to take off. And once they're off the platform, they'll just deal with whatever happens. They'll be just radioing back to Houston going, we got a problem. But they'll take care of it mid-flight. And right now, I feel like the momentum is, yeah. There. I mean, I know you see headlines about the PA and the NFL going back and forth and, you know, the possibility of no preseason games and this horse trading that goes on every time these two entities talk to each other. But if we've seen anything, we know when it comes to the deadline, when it comes to getting it kind of locked in, they will do it. They have the opportunity to be, you know, to own the American interest as soon as they start. And it's the opportunity that baseball blew, basically. And I just tend to think the NFL ownership will, you know, will run clock, and we'll see lots of gnashing of teeth and back and forth, and it'll get all kind of, you know, anxiety ridden. But ultimately, there's too much money to be made. And that's the sad truth. So call me naive. Check with me again tomorrow, because I'm sure my mood will totally change. But right now, I think it gets off the platform. Frank, thanks for the super chat. Could we see Gary be utilized to blitz the A-gap on passing downs, or will Pettine keep him at the nine technique? I feel like Gary has the physicality for it. You know, they've talked about him being another Z, and we've seen Z do that. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him utilized kind of as a blitzer slash kind of gum up the works, shoot the gap kind of guy on passing downs. Now, would they do it on first down, early downs? I don't know about that, but I think he'll be utilized a lot like Z was down the stretch last year, and that includes kicking him inside like that. Robin says, Adams, MVS, EQ, Lazard, and Funchess are my five wide receivers. Jones and Williams receiving ability makes me think they go with five. What say you? I think that's a distinct possibility. Whenever you're talking about numbers, you got to, I mean, and I'm sure you have, but you have to keep in mind that sometimes, a lot of times, injury helps kind of play that out, right? Especially with the numbers that J.C. Treader himself pointed out yesterday in his blog post about after the 2011 lockout, when they had no off-field work all offseason, and then they came back, I think it was something like a 25% increase in certain types of injuries. You know, that I think there will be more injuries in training camp this year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And that could go a long way to, you know, determining who is kept in the numbers at certain positions. But in a vacuum, yeah, I think that's a good possibility. Especially because of what you're talking about there in regards to the receiving ability, not only out of the backfield, but I think, you know, between Jace and DeGuara, if he shows what they think he's capable of, yeah, there's a good chance. And I know that leaves Kumerow off the list, and shout out to Touchdown Jesus, but that wouldn't surprise me at all. As we all know, the Bears still suck. You got that right. I like Gary with his hand in the dirt more. Well, Bryson, I like him kind of, I mean, I like him with his hand in the dirt in the sense that, you know, that's probably what he was comfortable with coming out of college, but they've spent a year now, you know, getting him to be able, you know, to learn to turn his hips, to flow into coverage, to do everything that's asked of that outside group. And I liked where he was headed. I do think you'll see him with his hand in the dirt, but I also think you'll see him standing up quite a bit. Mike Pettine has a lot going against him at the moment. I don't know about that, Joey. I think he just needs to be a little bit more aggressive on early downs. But outside of that, I mean, I think he's got a good collection of talent. Is it great? Yeah, I think borderline. He obviously needs some things to happen up front with Kenny. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We've talked about it a lot. I mean, we need Kiki on the field more. We need him to develop. Hopefully Trayvon Hester gives him something. But, you know, that's the one kind of big question mark for me. I know a lot of people would point to inside linebacker, but if they've proven anything over the years, it's that that is a very much devalued position in this defense. And if they are going to get anything from Kirksey, that's probably a plus, an improvement as far as playmaking ability. Now, production-wise, like cleaning up, making tackles, obviously Blake excelled there. But for the defense to take kind of a next step, I think you need some playmaking at the position. Hopefully Kirksey provides that. Maybe Kamal Martin does, but I don't know if there's – I wouldn't categorize it as a lot working against him. Every coach has holes he's got to fill, problems he's got to deal with. Pettine's special in that regard. Are we overlooking DeGuara? Well, Tyler, I don't think we're overlooking him. I did just mention him, but, you know, I just think he's a rookie and we don't know, right? The ability is there. The ceiling is there. You look at the tape and, I mean, you see the moves. He's got the ability, but you never know until you see it against NFL talent. That's, to me, why so much, you know, written and talked about when it comes to the NFL draft is such a waste because, you know, once you see them on the field – against NFL competition, you can start to get an idea. Just start to get an idea of what kind of player they are. But, yeah, I don't think we're overlooking him. I mean, I just think he's an unknown. I'm excited. I'm excited to see him. I think he could be potentially a real weapon in this offense, but that's all it is potential right now. Did I ever attend a Packers game at County Stadium? I did not. Brewers games, plenty of them, but never a Packers game. My dad did quite a few of them, but I never did. Makes you wonder how a lack of training camp and preseason will kneecap the development for Gary. Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, everyone's in the same boat, right? Every second-year player is dealing with that. So, yeah, is it unfortunate? No doubt about it. I think it's a bigger deal for guys like Jordan Love. You know, he's got to come in and run an offense that he hasn't even stepped on the field with yet and do it within the next, you know, within a 3-week window before the season starts. Good luck. Did you see the stat about rushes with eight plus in the box last year? Dylan first in the NCAA, nearly double second place. In second place was the Wisconsin back whose name is escaping me right now. But yeah, I saw that. And you would have to think that with Aaron Rodgers present, that he sees a lot less of that, and hopefully that opens up some lanes for him. You know, he's going to find the tackling, the speed, everything's a lot better in the NFL. So while he was productive with eight and more in the box, the NFL is a different beast, and we'll see what he can do against NFL competition. I am hopeful. I love the upside. You definitely see it on tape, but as we were talking about with DeGuara, you know, you don't really know until you see him against his NFL peers. Jonathan Taylor. Thanks, Big B. That's who I was talking about. If Jair and Savage both take the next step this year, the secondary could be nasty. There, I very much agree. I think, you know, Savage is the one they really need to step up. Jair, you've seen the potential, some inconsistency, but the coverage ability, the ball skills, if he could just hang on to them. He gets his hands on the ball a lot. But yeah, I think Savage is the big one. Savage is the one where if he takes that step, they could be truly cooking with gas. I mean, he struggled mightily at times with some bad angles, some really bad missed tackles. And if he can just kind of shore that up, there's no doubt the coverage ability is there. Zero question about it. I think he's got the ball skills necessary. I think he's got the physicality, the want to. He's not afraid to stick his nose in there, like against the run, against some physical players. But, man, he took some bad angles last year and missed way too many tackles. That's got to improve. And I don't need him to be Ronnie Lott. I don't need him to be Earl Thomas. I just, you know, he's got to be a lot more consistent when pursuing the football. But if he can just do that, the improvement will be noticeable and will set the Packers on a really good kind of path in their secondary. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with me, talking some Packers. Please, as I said, hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. I'll be doing live Packers trivia at 5:30 right here on the channel. Hope to see you then. In the meantime, have a great day. Go Pack, go.